And welcome back to a brand new episode of MTG Eternities. I'm your host, Carl. Now, as you can tell, things may sound a little bit different today. I had a bunch of people moving into my apartment right now, so it wasn't a very good opportunity to record. So what I have done, as of right now, I am actually recording in a guitar center. So it's a little bit better sound quality, but on occasion you may hear a guitar play or drums beat. It's the best of the situation that I can make right now, and I do think it's kind of funny. For right now, it doesn't sound too bad. We will see as time goes on, though. It's going to be real interesting editing this one, not going to lie. But I'm going to move on, because I am kind of limited here. First and foremost, I'd like to apologize for last week. I wasn't able to record as much as I wanted to. So, with what happened, I thought, you know what, I'm going to wait a week, because we had this announcement from Wizards going on. Little did I know at the time that, hey, this announcement's going to be pretty big, and we'll get to that in a moment. A week happened, then the announcement came, and then GP Vegas, along with several other announcements, plus leaks from Power of Devastation, plus leaks from Ixalan by complete mishap. So, as you can tell, I've got a little bit to catch up on, and so I'm going to attempt to do that as of now. First and foremost, we'll start with the most important news that we've had over the last week, and that is the ban for Standard. In Standard, as of right now, Aetherworks Marvel has been banned. Few people saw this coming, a few people didn't, and I'm on the latter. I didn't think they would ban Aetherworks Marvel. If you didn't see, Wizards of the Coast put out a statistic chart and showed by percentile win what decks are good against Aetherworks Marvel and what decks aren't. If I remember correctly, Izzet Control and Zombies were the only two decks that didn't have a positive win rate against Aetherworks Marvel. Don't know why, maybe they didn't play tested enough, but they were the only decks that didn't at least break even or have a positive percentile when it comes to it. So this does put us at a new precedent for Standard. Wizards is now banning cards that aren't fun. I thought Aetherworks Marvel was a fun deck. I've compared it to a coin flip over the last few weeks, and effectively it is, but Wizards of the Coast didn't see it as such, which is rather unfortunate, I think. So that puts us in kind of an awkward position right now, where the most dominant combo decks in Standard that we've seen in the last couple of years have both been axed. Copycat has been axed 3 months prior, and then 3 months later, Aetherworks Marvel has been axed. Does that show the power of these combos in Standard? Yes. But at the same time, are these combos effective in Modern? As of right now, Copycat has not been effective in Modern. I know people have played it in Modern, and it hasn't been up to par with Splinter Twin or any other combo deck. Aetherworks Marvel has not seen play in Modern yet. It could, because there's a bunch of ETB effects, and just like Standard, it could drop Ulamog turn 4, or it could drop an even bigger threat, 15 drop Emrakul, take an extra turn, swing 15, annihilate 6. That is a distinct possibility. There's plenty of room for both decks to grow, especially in Modern, since they can no longer grow in Standard, which is rather unfortunate. But we'll have to wait and see if anyone in Modern is deciding to brew with these or not. But like I said, that leaves Standard in an awkward position. There was a discussion at my local game store where they were saying Standard is an entry format. And in the long run, it is. It's an entry format for new players to say, hey, I like Magic. I want to play Magic. Let's see if I can play some of the older formats and get good at those older formats and become even better at the game. Here's my issue with that statement, though. As an entry format, sure, it's fine. But the issue with that is, do you have somebody, you're introducing them to a game, and say, here's this game, we're only going to learn to play two-thirds of this game, you're not going to know the other third until, you know, years later. In this case, of course, the third being combo. Wizards has effectively killed combo in Standard. I don't know if that's the right decision at this point. I do think it is the right decision to say Standard cannot have a turn 4 reliable win in combo. A turn 4 unfun way to win in Standard. That's fine. That's understandable. But we still need to have some sort of viable combo in Standard. I would say the precipice for Standard at this moment is turn 5, maybe turn 6 win with some sort of combo. And that's if the format doesn't get faster. If it gets faster like it once was, if Lightning Bolt comes back into play or Control gets better with better counterspells or better forms of removal, of course you're going to need to adjust the combo to say, hey, combo has a chance. If we look at the format right now, the decks are getting kind of fast, fine. But at the same token, you want to say, what's an acceptable combo win for Standard right now? So what I have in mind are really bad combos, but there are combos that you can potentially look at, especially if you're trying to continue on with the combo strategy. The first combo I want to talk about is Triska Decaphobia. Triska Decaphobia is about to cycle a few months, and by a few months I mean September, so we still got a little bit of time with it. And it is a cheap combo piece. It's like a dollar combo piece, $2 combo piece. And you combo that with Tree of Perdition. So I'm going to tell you what Triska Decaphobia does. Triska Decaphobia says you win the game if your opponent has 13 life. That's basically it. It has two modes, but that's the mode you care about. So you combo that with Tree of Perdition, which says it switches your opponent's life total and its toughness. Tree of Perdition's toughness is a 0-13. So if they're less than 13 life, you can Tree of Perdition. If they're greater than 13 life, you can Tree of Perdition. Tree of Perdition is vulnerable to removal, the biggest right now, of course, being Fatal Push. There's not a lot beyond that, though, that can deal with Tree of Perdition. Burn spells aren't going to hit it too well. I've seen people been able to harness lightning for 13, 14 if they wanted to, but that just seems like a huge waste of energy. I don't know if that's the combo you could potentially go with. There are ways to get Triska Decaphobia out since it's a 4-drop enchantment. You can get that out on turn 3, or you can get Tree of Perdition out on turn 3, drop Triska Decaphobia, whatever you need to. It's a slow turn 5 win. And the only reason I'm even bringing this up is the pain lands are no longer in standard. So you can, instead of your opponent go, well, you're going to activate that, I'm going to pain myself, you can instead do other things. So you can put Triska Decaphobia in a control shell and say, I'm going to just protect my Tree of Perdition, Triska Decaphobia, until I'm able to use such items to win the game. Or you can put it in with Burn. Now, Burn's not that great. We only have Shock as the main source of direct burn to the face right now. There are other burn spells in Standard, of course, none of which are that good, unfortunately. We were missing for the longest time the most important burn spell, which was 3 to the face. With our Devastations release, from what I've seen, we have 2 reliable burn spells that deal 3 to the face. They do other things, of course, but they deal 3 to the face, which is the most important thing. We have burn spells in Standard that can deal 4 to the face. We have burn spells that deal 2 that puts players at 15. That's not the best number. But now, you can go, I'm going to deal 4 to the face, deal an additional 3 to the face, you're at 13, have Triska Decaphobia out, win on upkeep. That's an option to do. You can do green, black, red, or you can do green, blue, red, some sort of variant of that. And possibly went with Triska Decaphobia. Again, this is just an idea. Obviously, it's not, if you're a competitive player like I am, that's not the best route to go. But it's just an idea, throwing it out there. In my opinion, we have to throw out ideas for combo decks, since we've just lost the 2 best combo decks Standard has seen in a very long time. Another jank combo that you could try is Wandering Fumaroil Crackdown Construct. So Crackdown Construct reads, whenever a creature you control activates its ability, it gets +1/+1 for the turn. So you animate Wandering Fumaroil, activate its ability, let's say 100 times, Crackdown Construct gets +100/+100. So then you find a way to either make it unblockable, or you fling the thing and deal 102 damage to an opponent. Again, just an idea, just a spitball idea. I'm trying to throw darts at the dartboard and see what sticks at this point. I think if we want to get the best experience out of Standard, we do need to have all 3 versions of decks in Standard. We need to have a combo deck, we need to have a control deck, and we need to have an aggro deck. Doesn't matter what variants we have, but we have to have all these things to introduce new players to the format. If I go, hey, I'm a new player, I'm going to play this aggro deck, I have no idea what combo is, I'm going to play for a couple years, get into Modern. Oh, hey, this Ignosium deck, what's that? That's curious. I died on turn 3? Why wasn't I prepared for this in Standard? Or Storm, they die on turn 3 and that's a combo deck. If they decide to make Dredge Unban, people can do that. Or if they decide to make Infect great again, they can kill people that way. There's plenty of combo decks in Modern that kill reliably turn 3, turn 4. Or for whatever reason they decide to unban Splinter Twin, that's another option people can go to that the Standard player will not be prepared for. They will not have any experience whatsoever playing against a combo deck. And that's my biggest concern right now, is I think we need to prepare all players for combo, all players for control, all players for aggro. Going back to the past, we have had aggro. Aggro's never really died. Aggro in standard has never died. You've always had some version of aggro. And I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this, but one of the worst times for me in standard was with the cons block. And I can already hear people just saying, oh, hey, that's you're bad if you hate the cons block, or this, that. I wasn't a huge fan of the cons block. Yes, we had the fetch lands, which was amazing to play with in standard again. Don't get me wrong. But I hated the cons block for a multitude of reasons. You either were Abzan as an 80% dominant field, or you were Black Jeskai as the other 20%. And then people just started playing toolbox decks with Coco and Cord, and that's another story entirely. I don't think we need another one of those situations right now. I am happy that Wizards is introducing another test group to the fray to see how standard will pan out, and I'm hoping this new test group does well. We won't see their effects for years. We might see their first effects when Dominaria comes out. God knows if that's going to happen. When Dominaria comes out, we might see some of their playtesting effects saying this card needs to be changed, or this card's too strong, or something to that equivalence. But we won't see that for years. Ixalan's the next set out of Hours of Devastation, which I'm happy for. I'm going to talk about that later in the show. I'm excited for Ixalan. I haven't been this excited for a set in a long time. But we won't see this new playtest group's hand in Ixalan whatsoever. So we still might see some broken stuff in Ixalan. Or we still might see some other cool stuff in Ixalan when it comes out. We won't know until we see the full spoilers. And we won't know until playtesting 2 weeks after. So there's a lot of stuff up for debate at the moment. Especially when it comes to standard format. So kind of going back to what I was previously touching on, combo and standard, I do think it's important to teach new players that combos can exist, and they don't have to be bad combos. I think the format needs something there, even if it's, let's just say the standard for standard, no pun intended, should be a turn 5 reliable combo. Or maybe a turn 6. If turn 5 is too fast, then we can adjust it to turn 6. Just something that says, hey, I'm here, I exist. Just because I'm here doesn't mean the other decks don't have a chance. I think that would be the fairest decision at this point. We have cards like Animation Module, Metallic Mimic, that one particularly copying Thopter Sword. So a new player can go, I'm going to play this in Standard, and hey, maybe I'll try this Thopter Sword combo in Modern if it gets good, or maybe I just want to play it just for fun. That's an option. Players can try to break Approach of the Second Sun, and that's a self-contained combo. Play it once, gain 7 life. Play it a second time, win the game. That's a self-contained combo. On turn 7 is when it gets cast. Turn 8, you have potential to win the game again if you have a second one in hand. I think that card is very fair. In EDH, it's already making an impact. In Standard, it's made somewhat of an impact. There are decks that have played Approach of the Second Sun. God knows Control can try to splash it and do some sort of Jeskai variant with Approach of the Second Sun. There are plenty of ways for everything to go in Standard right now, for combo to make a comeback. Especially after this void has happened, now where we've had the two best combo decks effectively killed in Standard. But I digress. There's other ways that things can go in Standard that people will definitely disagree with me on this podcast, but that's just the way I feel right now. I think we should be teaching all of our players how to play every sort of variant of Magic when it comes to Standard. There shouldn't just be an aggro and an occasionally in a control deck. It should be aggro, control, and a combo deck, even if it's a bad combo deck. I think all of them should exist at a given time. But that brings us to a second point of which, with the ban of Aetherworks Marvel, we now have seen effectively 5 cards banned in Standard that have all been sizable. We've seen Aetherworks Marvel being the latest, Belidar Guardian, and then in the past, Reflector Mage, Smuggler's Copter, and Emrakul, the Promised End, all of which have seen high dollar value, with the exception, of course, being Belidar Guardian. That being said, all of those cards were at a set price, people bought them, and now that they're banned, they can't play them unless they decide to either try them out in Modern, or they decide to, you know, play them in a casual format. So that leaves all these players who are consistently buying cards to try to build good decks or try to keep up with the top-tier decks. They've been banned, and now that hurts players. And that doesn't hurt the new players as much as it hurts the old players to this extent. I've mentioned in the past that I've owned 8th Works Marvel. Thankfully, I wasn't playing 8th Works Marvel right now. I was loaning it out to somebody. That person's sending me back the deck right now, and I feel bad, effectively, because, hey, 8th Works Marvel, all these cards are being loaned out, it's an amazing deck, and now we're stuck with nothing. Now that person's stuck with nothing. Now they have to go out and find a new deck to build for Standard if they want to keep trying to do Standard. And what's worse is they won a PPTQ with 8th Works Marvel, so that's going to have to be, they're going to have to go to that next tournament without 8th Works Marvel trying to playtest something else that they have to get adjusted to. Even worse, I think, was the ban happened a few days before GP Vegas. So everyone got really excited for GP Vegas. We had Standard, Modern, and Legacy, all events kicking off at GP Vegas. And then all of a sudden, hey, we're going to ban 8th Works Marvel. Everyone who was playing Marvel had to jump to a different deck, causing all the other decks to spike in price. So for this reason, I think we can look at GP Vegas for the Modern and Legacy portions, but the dust still hasn't settled for GP Vegas Standard-wise. The Marvel ban was too fresh, so we can't exactly call what decks are going to perform well in Standard. I think it won't be, not this week, but next week, is when we could finally say the dust settled from all of this Marvel banning. All these cards are finally making their way into other decks. And yes, we'll see other cards arise, other decks arise with our devastation, so even then, the adjustment's not going to be that long. So we might have to wait 2 weeks till after our devastation before the decks finally make their way back to where they're supposed to be. I don't know how everyone exactly feels about that. That's just my opinion, that we won't have a settled Standard format for a few more weeks till after our devastation. Everything's going to be up in the air. People are going to be trying to playtest all these new cards. It's not going to get settled till then. So the question remains, is it worth going to a GP for Standard right now? And I would have to say, looking at it as it is right now, no, it's not worth going to a GP until Hour of Devastation fully releases. Yes, that's a couple more weeks, but whatever deck you're playing right now, it's going to be changed almost immediately upon Hour's release. If you're playing Izzet Control, you've got plenty of cards. You could splash black for Nicobolas. You could play the new Locust God. You could play different counter spells. If you're playing zombies, a bunch of zombies got released. And a bunch of zombies will continue to get released. You could play different things. So right now, I think it's just best to play test in FNM, especially Standard-wise, just to play test FNM, keep trying to grind FNM, and go from there. If you're going to a GP for Modern reasons, that's fair. If you're going to a GP, again, for Legacy, which is incredibly rare, I don't think there's another one until like the end of the year or something like that. I think GP Vegas was like the last one for a while. But if you just so happen to find one that I don't know about, it's possibly worth it. Again, depending on if you have a Legacy deck. And Legacy is finally just barely getting settled since the top ban. We've seen a lot of cards in recent months get banned. We've seen Golgari Grave Troll in Modern. We've seen Sensei's Divining Top in Legacy. So, and then we've seen an additional 5 bans in Standard. So this year, Wizards has been on their thing, banning cards that just aren't fun or that are controlling formats too much. I don't know if that's the way that the future of Wizards is going to go. We'll have to wait and see. It is something that is rather interesting to me, that Wizards has banned at least more cards this year than I've seen in a while. I haven't seen this many bans since Modern became a thing. And Wizards just banned 25 cards off the bat that they just thought were too broken. And we've slowly been adjusting the ban list as things have been going on. For right now, I'm going to leave 8th Works Marvel as it is. It's been a relic of the past now. It might wake its way into Modern. I doubt it'll ever get unbanned for Standard purposes. Rest in peace, 8th Works Marvel. You were an amazing card while you were there. So with that, I will move on to the Hour of Devastation / Ixalan spoilers. With Hour of Devastation this week, we've seen quite a bit so far, especially with GP Vegas. I believe all the invocations have been released and more cards are coming out. I haven't seen anything that makes me go wow in Hour of Devastation yet. I haven't seen too many things that I'm looking forward to playing in it. Is it control outside of maybe trying to splash Nicol Bolas or try the new counterspell, the new 3-drop counterspell that has a mode on it? I might want to try that in standard with my Iza control deck, but that's just me ballparking. What made me go wow this weekend, or wow last weekend I should say, was the Ixalan spoilers. Now, Ixalan in itself, I'm not going to go into detail about the spoilers too much. I'm actually just going to talk about the controversy here around it. It's not so much a controversy for players. We get to see 6 months in advance at this point cards from Ixalan. We get to see, hey, a few of these cards got reprinted. Let's start buying those because they're going to be in standard again. That's going to be awesome. But at that same token, Wizards is going, who took these pictures? Who leaked these 99 cards? We need to find this person, ban them if they're a player, possibly prosecute them, and God knows what else they're thinking about right now. This is a massive security leak on Wizards' part. Someone legitimately went in with their cell phone, took two really blurry but good enough pictures that we can tell what the sheet is in full detail. With that, we saw a lot of Ixalan. We saw that, hey, we're getting pirates. We saw that, hey, we're getting a bunch of dinosaurs. We saw, hey, we're getting the Czechlands back in standard again, and that's going to be great. But at that same token, we haven't had a leak to this extent before. We don't know the repercussions of a leak like this. We've seen cards in the past where they were leaked by a player early, where it's one or two cards, and usually the player or whoever leaked it gets punished. But it's never been a leak to this extent, where 99 cards in the set have been shown. At least to my recollection, as long as I've been playing, I've never seen a leak that massive before. So with that, you got to keep in mind that when Ixalan's going to spoil, it's probably going to spoil a week later, or they're just going to preview all the cards that got leaked on that sheet in better quality. Which I'm fine with, because a lot of those cards are blurry, you could still tell what they are. You could still read the names, you could still tell the text, you could even read some of the flavor text on it. It's just the picture that's blurry on a lot of them. But it's going to be one of those things where spoiler season for Ixalan is going to be kind of sour, I think. It's going to be a little bit later than what we want when it comes to Ixalan. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to play Pirates. I'm excited to get Dinosaurs in Standard. I'm hoping they errata Allosaurus Rider to make it an Elf Warrior Dinosaur. And that's just my personal hope because, honestly, that card's just funny. I think it would be great to have in Standard. As far as I know, Ixalan looks like it's going to be an amazing set, especially if all the cards they decide not to change. I look forward to playing Ixalan. It already looks like it's going to be great for Standard, and they've leaked some cards that look like they're going to be great for EDH if you play EDH. So I'm actually looking forward to it. It's going to be a pretty hype set. I mean, how can you possibly go wrong with a set that has dinosaurs and pirates in the same set? It's going to be real fun, I think. But I also do want to finally touch on GP Vegas. For all intents and purposes, I'm not going to talk about Legacy for right now, and I'm not talking about Standard. I want to focus solely on Modern in GP Vegas. There were quite a few Death Shadow decks and Eldrazi Tron decks that showed up in the overall brackets for GP Vegas. So that makes me think that, especially if they're surpassing affinity and popularity when it comes to just as a deck and whole, is Wizards possibly going to ban a card out of one of these two decks? I don't know if they will. My personal thought, and it's not going to affect the deck too much, but when it comes to Death Shadow, I think out of all cards, they might ban Mishra's Bauble. And you yourself might be wondering, well, why Mishra's Bauble? Well, one, they don't like Ice Age as a set. It's one of those cards that they don't want to revisit. It's kind of a very niche card in itself. You get to look at the card of your opponent and draw a card. It powers Tarmogoyf, so it'll turn down Jund Death Shadow for a little bit, which I'm fine with. It'll turn down that. And in itself is a $50 uncommon, and it's spiking up in price because of the popularity of Death Shadow. Another card that they might look at is Street Wraith. The card helps Death Shadow quite a bit, pay 2 life, draw a card. And then it, again, pumps up Tarmogoyf. If they're running Tarmogoyf, it gets a creature automatically in the grave for 2 life. And you're able to just keep on doing this and get out those cheap Death Shadows real quick. Those would be the two cards I would imagine that Wizards is looking at. Death Shadow in itself is somewhat of a fair card. They're not going to ban Tarmogoyf. They're not going to ban other cards in the deck. Out of all of Death Shadow, Those would be the two cards I'd be looking at. I'd be looking at Street Wraith, and I'd be looking at Mishra's Bauble. Of the two, I think Street Wraith might be a little bit more bannable, just because it sees play in a few different decks, whereas Mishra's Bauble, I believe, only sees play specifically in Death Shadow. Granted, I've seen a few Lantern Control players try to play the card at my local meta, but it hasn't worked out too well for them, thankfully. So when you go to Eldrazi Tron, though, a lot of those cards seem fair. We've already, and I use the term fair here in quotations, we've already seen a ban from Eldrazi with Eye of Ugin. So Eldrazi is no longer as fast as it used to be. The deck, in my opinion, isn't consistent because, hey, they'll lay down two Tron Fleeces, then it'll be an Eldrazi Temple. Or they'll lay down an Eldrazi Temple, followed up by another Eldrazi Temple, and just go Thoughtnoxer. In which case, they got a really good hand anyways. So does that mean that they're going to ban Eldrazi Temple? Out of all the cards in Eldrazi Tron, that's the one I've heard people talk about the most being banned, at least in my local meta when it comes to the three or four shops I cycle between. I would say no, that you don't have to worry about a lot of things being banned out of Eldrazi Tron. It's just another variant of Tron. For them to ban anything out of it, it's going to be kind of a mistake, I think. It's the same thing with Affinity right now. It's the same thing, the same reason why Affinity's not going to see a ban. Affinity is one of those decks where it either has the cards it needs and wins, or it's not. It's the same exact thing with Eldrazi Tron. In fact, if you compare the two, I believe Affinity has the better matchup at a 65% win rate game one. But then again, it's Affinity. You should win game one anyways. The only card out of Affinity that sees play anywhere else is Mox Opal, and that's the card everyone talks about also seeing a ban, because it sees play specifically in Affinity, and it sees play in Lantern Control. I don't think the card's strong enough by itself to get banned, especially being a Metalcraft legendary artifact. And I would hope they wouldn't ban it, partially because I play Affinity and I don't want to get my Mox Opals banned. But secondly, Mox Opal doesn't see play any in Legacy. It doesn't. It's not a strong enough Opal to see play in Legacy. It's not a strong enough mana producer to see it. Like Simeon Spirit Guide and Elvish Spirit Guide, those cards see play in Modern and in Legacy where they're legal. And they're a lot more consistent because you get decks like Charbelcher out of it. That sort of free mana, I think, is something that needs to be looked at. I think out of everything, you need to be looking at Simeon Spirit Guide in a lot of decks rather than Mox Opal. But again, that could just be bias. That could just be bias from Affinity player. Granted, I own a very large Modern collection, and I switch between 7, 8, 9 different decks. I currently have 2 decks out on loan to 2 very good friends of mine, and they're playing their variants. I have one friend playing a variant of Tron, and I have another friend playing a variant of Death Shadow Jund. I myself am playing Affinity. I could play Storm. I could play Elves. I could play 6 different other decks. I could play any variant of Burn or Jund that I wanted to. Just because I've managed to accumulate in a collection over the years, and I have a lot of the cards that can allow me to do such things. So coming from a perspective that I can jump from deck to deck and say, a ban's not going to hurt me a lot, but I played this deck over here, and I played this deck over here, and out of these two decks, this one seems a bit more unfair than this one. But that's just coming from me. That's just my idea on the whole situation of Modern right now. I think when you play Death Shadow, you run the risk of a ban coming your way. You run the risk of Street Wraith, and you run the risk of Mishra's Bauble becoming banned. Granted, we are going back to Dominaria. I don't think they'll print Mishra's Bauble in Standard, but there's a chance they might. And Dominaria might be the place where you find Mishra's Bauble. It would lower the price significantly on an uncommon that's $50, $60 and continuing to skyrocket since it's only been printed once. And that's the main reason why I think that card's possibly going to get banned. Street Wraith's been printed a few times. Mishra Bauble's only been printed once. It's one of those cards that may never get printed again. That's the only reason why I think you should look at Mishra's Bauble if you're going to ban something. Eldrazi's already seen a ban, and if they ban another thing, they might ban Thoughtnoxer or something like that, or they might ban Eldrazi's Temple. I doubt it, because the deck overall is, in my opinion, fair. There's ways to stop Eldrazi. You can drop a Torpor Orb, you can drop different things to stop the Eldrazi Onslaught. And maybe it's just the variant of matchup on it. There's also ways that Eldrazi itself hurts its own self. Like I mentioned before, they play 2 pieces of Tron, forget to play the other piece, just slap down a temple, and don't get the tempo that they need to play out the Reality Smasher. or they play their Thought Knotseer on turn 4 rather than trying to excel. Granted, that's on the player for being inexperienced for playing Tron and somebody just jumping on the Tron hype train, but that's just the way I see it right now. A lot of people are hopping on this Eldrazi Tron hype train, or a lot of people are hopping on this Jess Shadow hype train, and not understanding fully how to play the decks. And that's why I think you have a very big outcoming in Modern right now, when it comes to these two particular decks showing up. It's just people hopping on this hype train of Eldrazi Tron, Death Shadow, not knowing how to play the deck, just knowing it's a good deck because the pros are doing it and they want to copy the pros, or their best friend's doing it and just had 4 extra copies of Mistress Pobble or something like that. That's just the way I look at it right now. I think Modern, if anything, might be the next format to see a ban. I don't think we're going to see a ban in Standard anytime soon, especially after these last few months. Legacy just saw a ban, and Legacy doesn't ever see bans. So that brings us back to Modern. Again, out of all formats, EDH aside, I think right now the next format to see something will more than likely be Modern. But that's just my opinion on it. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping that when it comes to Modern, we see no bans upon the next ban list release. I like being able to play different decks in Modern without having to worry about something being banned, just like I like playing Standard, and I like playing Legacy. It's just when we have so many bans focused on stuff, it makes me hesitant to invest into a deck that is super fun that I know is going to see a ban eventually. But that's the risk you run in Magic. It is. It's honestly the risk you run. You either play a deck and you have fun with it while you can, or you don't, or you play a safe deck that you know isn't going to get banned. You don't have a lot of fun with it. You have a consistency, I suppose, would be the word. And then you eventually falter and go off. I will say that I hope when Hour of Devastation releases, we see some decks pick up steam. By the look of it, is it Control's going to pick up? Control in general is going to pick up with Grixis, for sure. We're going to have a lot of aggro pickup, and I'm hoping some piece of combo, even if it's bad combo, even if it's a turn 6 win with combo, decides to pick itself up out of the ashes and take the place of Aetherworks Marvel. I don't like format where we focus strictly on aggro and control, but that's just me. I think all players should be exposed to all different variants of Magic. I think combo needs to be there, aggro needs to be there, and control all need to be there. And whether or not that leads to more research being done when it comes to Standard, then so be it. More research needs to be done anyway, so we don't have unfair decks coming out. We have fair combo decks coming into Standard. We have fair aggro decks coming in. We have fair control decks coming in. And all players are satisfied. But that's the issue. You can't satisfy everyone. For every card you print, there's going to be somebody unhappy with that card's existence. Whether it's another Hill Giant for draft, or it's Nicol Bolas, somebody's going to be unhappy that that card exists. With that, though, my time in this recording room is kind of coming to an end, so I am going to end this here for right now. Next week, I do plan on having, once all the Hours of Devastation spoilers are released, or when they're fully released, I plan on having a couple of friends of mine join in for a round-robin discussion on Hours of Devastation. We're going to give you our opinions on draft. We're going to give you our opinions on Standard, what cards are going to see play and what cards won't. And we're going to give you our opinion on if any of those cards from Hour of Devastation are Modern playable or are Legacy playable. I hope you're able to tune in for that. I think it's going to be a very great podcast that day. I'm looking forward to it. I have something in the works for my 10th episode. Once I release that, once I edit that, I do plan on doing a giveaway via Twitter, so make sure you follow me via Twitter. I haven't decided exactly what the prize is going to be yet. I'm looking at a Nicol Bolas from Hour of Devastation being the prize, or I'm possibly looking at a large playmat being the giveaway prize for my 10th podcast in celebration for it. So please stay tuned for that, especially if you're interested in getting a free Nicol Bolas. You don't have to pay for shipping or anything like that. You just have to tell me your address and I'd ship it to you. The same thing with the mat, possibly, depending on what I'm able to do. It's something small to say, hey, thanks for listening, and I do hope you guys decide to continue listening. So thank you again. With that in mind, I'd like to finally say, all lines of thought are open for all Magic seekers. This is your host from MTG Eternities, signing out.